Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Parimala, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the NIIT Limited conference call. For the duration of the presentation, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode. I'll be standing by for the question and answer session. I would like to hand over to Mr. Vijay Tharani of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to Mr. Tharani.
Thank you, Parimala. Good evening. And welcome to the conference call for quarter three financial results. I do understand you all had a rather tiring day, so I would like to keep my part of the talking to the minimum and then open it for question and answers. The results have been on the site now for nearly 2 hours, and I hope all of you had an opportunity to access them. If not, www.niit.com is the site. And if you do have the presentation in front of you, I'd like to start with the logo that you see on the front slide itself, which is the celebration of 25 years of NIIT, which is beginning as we talk today. So you are amongst the first to get an access to this new logo, which we'll be running with for celebrating the 25 years of NIIT. I also must mention that as we speak, NIIT has now been a public company for longer than it was a private company. So this is also 13 years of being a public company. With that, let me just get into the agenda, where as usual I would like to start with describing the industry environment that we faced as a company. I would like to look at the geography and what we saw there. In India, I think the improvement in consumer sentiment for IT careers continues, and there is more and more news stories and more vibes on how IT can be a good career option. Of course, a lot of it contributed by the education which the industry is doing, as well as a small role which NIIT played. The other thing which I would like to talk about is the NASSCOM McKinsey study of December 2005, where they talked about how the IT and BPO population, some 700,000 directly employed professionals and indirectly employed 2.5 million information workers, will grow to 2.3 million IT workers and 6.5 million in support or support services indirect employment by 2010. And how that leaves a gap of nearly 500,000 people given the current education infrastructure. We saw all that as an opportunity, and we are working on capitalizing on this opportunity. There was a third element of that, that only 25% of engineers and professionals coming out of formal institutions are ready for direct employment into the industry, and therefore the balance 75% also present an opportunity for finishing school skills. In China, we saw that the IT education to become a part of the formal education system has gained momentum, and now provincial governments at government level are leading delegations to India. We had a number of them visiting us during the last quarter, which shows the interest in implementing IT education as a part of their formal education process. The second, again, a very encouraging thought was that the Indian IT companies, a dozen of them at least, who have started hiring locally. And I think the fact that our development methodology and our training methodology is very aligned with the Indian processes that IT companies use in India should make it very interesting for our students to get placement in these companies. In US, we saw the corporate spend on training was on an increase. Blended learning is the name of the game right now. Not pure learning, not pure instructor-led training on one hand. On the other hand, technology companies, especially Microsoft and large technology companies, are coming up with new product announcements. And enablement training, readiness training, mass deployment training, these are becoming needs of the hour. And we saw ourselves trying to use or take advantage of some of these opportunities and form partnership with technology companies. Lastly, in Europe, where our subsidiary just started working, we saw an interest in training outsourcing, and we'll talk about the results of that. Quickly going on to the numbers themselves, the consolidated net revenues for the quarter recorded a 22% year-on-year growth I must mention here that given the fact that our business is seasonal and therefore seasonal volatility does affect the results, the seasonal volatility was reduced with a better product mix, which means the quarter-on-quarter reduction in revenues which would have taken place in previous years, this year that reduction was less. But on a year-on-year basis, in this quarter, this has been perhaps our best quarter in this year, with a 22% year-on-year growth. The operating profit grew 29% year-on-year, reflecting a better operating margin, and we saw an improvement of 63 basis points in operating margin, which was at 11.3% in this quarter. The PAT, profit after tax, was at 55 million rupees for the quarter, which was up 14% year-on-year. System-wide revenue, something which we used to track and will continue to do so, because in the individual business, the product mix of own centers and franchise centers does reflect a new number in terms of how much was the customer purchase, and system-wide revenues is something which we have been sharing in the past. They grew 13% year-on-year. Moving on to some details of these financials. If you looked at the net revenues, I already talked about a 22% growth year-on-year. Our operating expenses grew slightly slower, and that's the reason we had a better operating margin. After providing for a depreciation of 96 million and an other income which was in negative this time because of foreign exchange exchange fluctuation losses booked in the other income, our profit before tax was 19 million, and after including share of profits from associates and the provision for tax, our net profit was at 55 million rupees, which reflects a basic EPS of 2.8 rupees per share. On a 9-month level, this reflects a CYD performance of 12% growth in system-wide revenue, 14% growth in net revenues, 21% growth in operating profit, 13% operating margin, and an improvement of 75 basis points in a 9-month period, and an EPS growth of 16%. So last full year, we did an EPS of 18 rupees a share. The first 9 months, we have already clocked 16.4. In terms of product mix, our individual line, individual solutions contributed 47%, corporate 33%, and institutional 20% on a system-wide revenue basis. So if you look at an analysis of that, in individual business where system-wide revenue is more relevant, individual business, while it recorded 22% year-on-year growth, if you look at it in terms of geography levels, 65% of revenue was contributed by India, which grew at 22%, and international contributed 35%. And within international, if I was to do China and non-China, 20% was contributed by China. What is significant is that of our individual learning revenues, China is now 20% of the total revenue. And China grew 36% year-on-year basis. In institutional business, where net revenue is more relevant, we grew 21% year-on-year. And while we did get some orders in the early parts of this year, in every quarter we had some orders, we did not have any new orders during this quarter, very significant new orders in this quarter. However, the funnel has been strong, and the growth that we saw was based on the contracts that we had received during the year in the first three quarters. In corporate, we had a very decent order intake, and corporate revenues grew 17% year-on-year. Just going down to one more level of detail, in the individual business, the India business grew by 47%, and China, I already mentioned, 36%. Our enrollments, overall enrollments, were at 61,685, which were 46% YOY improvement. Most of the contribution in the individual business came from the career segment, where revenues were up 50% and enrollments were up 61%. Obviously, all this is caused by some lead indicators like placements, where placements in these 9 months were up 76% over the same period last year. One important development during the last quarter was the academic alliance with UK Open University, where we will be, we have selected 6 countries other than India, where we would be launching joint curriculum along with UK Open University, where students will be doing the first 2 years of NIIT program the way it is, and the third year, which is called the top-up course, with the UK Open University, of course conducted by NIIT, and thereby getting a bachelor's degree in computer science from UK Open University. This release has been received very well. We expect to launch the courses in April. We've already got our centers in Vietnam certified, and we have the other few countries where in Africa and South Asia we are going to have this course. We are going through the certification process. So we see good opportunities coming out of this. In China, another part of the individual business, we opened 7 new centers, and I think the NIIT Inside model is gaining further popularity. In the institutional business, the more significant thing was trust which we had in private schools, where we had some new product launches and some significant product opportunities that we created for private schools through a partnership with Intel and State Bank of India, where Intel and State Bank of India jointly fund the school on one side, and then they use the product that we have created for those schools. Overall institutional order book at the end of the quarter stood at 1,501 million rupees, of which 42% is executable in next 12 months. The total school serviced at the end of the quarter was standing at 4,295. In the corporate business, we had a 17% growth, as I mentioned, and this was basically in most of the growth came out of technology vertical, where we've formed alliances with a large number of technology companies to do their customer training, their employee training, and their partner training, which is what is meant by enablement and readiness training. We also launched our European subsidiary, which we had commenced in the last quarter, but this quarter it became operational. And it also got its first order for training outsourcing from corporate sector from a large electronics major from Europe. And that was a very nice beginning for the European geography. In terms of order intake, corporate business received an order intake of 10.38 million, and therefore their closing order book is $22.6 million in this case, 70% of which is executable in the next 12 months. Our headcount during the quarter went up from 1995 to 2,103, predominantly in the corporate business on one side and in the individual learning business, where we did open some new centers for ourselves. I think I have completed all the numbers and analysis that I had to, so maybe I would like to open this for question and answers, and then we could discuss other issues. Parimala, for question and answers, please.
Thank you very much, sir. At this moment, I would like to hand over the proceedings to Aisha to conduct the Q&A for participants connected to Singtel. After this, we will have a Q&A session for participants at India Bridge. Thank you, and over to Aisha.
Thank you, Parimala. We will now begin the Q&A session for participants connected to the Singtel Bridge. Please press 01 to ask a question. Participants, please press 01 to ask a question. Parimala, there are no questions from participants at Singtel. I would like to hand over the proceedings back to you.
Thank you, Aisha.
Welcome.
We will now begin the Q&A interactive session for India participants. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. On pressing star 1, participants will get a chance to present their questions on a first-in-line basis. participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. To ask a question, please press star 1 now. First in line, we have Mr. Ashi Anand from Pro ICICI. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, sir. I just wanted to understand some of the profitability trends in individual business segments. Now, in the individual business, while revenues have gone up, and as I understand, it's a relatively fixed cost business, we've also seen operating expenses go up reasonably sharply. Just wanted to understand what were these operating expenses that went up, and why we didn't really see operating leverage taken in this business.
Okay. In this particular quarter, as I mentioned, we had some new product launches three geographies. Actually, there were two or three reasons why we had high operating expenses, mostly fixed expenses, in this quarter. So therefore, the impact of that was felt on the bottom line because the revenue levels were small. This is for individual business, it's normally the smallest quarter, though in this case it turned out to be as good as the first quarter size in revenue. The two or three things which contributed to lower operating numbers in the individual business basically came from the fact that we had some new marketing campaigns. In fact, if you have the presentation in front of you, we had one of the very successful advertising campaigns which said Bill Gates, where we were actually trying to say that even before the product launch of Microsoft, we had trained nearly 11,000 people even before Bill Gates came to India. So there were some marketing launches which contributed to that. Second, we also had a higher incidence of success certification courses, where we have to use the vendor's courseware, so therefore the variable cost in that case is higher. Third, we had some campaigns in Nigeria and Vietnam, which were basically created for mass awareness and create a large number of followers. And lastly, we had some delayed implementation of certain programs in one of the international geographies. So some of these would have contributed. If these unique situations were kept aside, then our operating margin in this quarter would have been more like 4%.
Okay, it had been more on 4%, you said.
Yeah.
Okay, so if one, I know it's difficult to understand capacity utilization in this business, but in terms of whatever your individual benchmarks would be internally, where would we be actually in terms of capacity utilization?
We are at 39%. Now we track capacity utilization very accurately for the last three quarters. I think for the last three quarters we've been giving you exact numbers of capacity utilization. So we use a revenue capacity utilization model where the number of seats, and if all the seats were paid for by students who paid the full fee, what would that number be and how much was our revenue, and therefore divide the former number and we would get the capacity utilization.
Okay, so we were at 39% in this current quarter.
Very right.
And how much is the optimal? As in, I understand you wouldn't be able to operate at 100. So what is the realistic number one could be looking at?
Yeah, typically the break-even in every geography is between 35% to 45%, depending on the pricing we use, depending on the infrastructure we use, but that's the range. Typically, when we start going beyond 65% to 70%, we start thinking of expanding capacity, because then what happens, the prime slots go away, and then you are not able to get the right number of students. So the optimum level at which, even today, there are centers which run at 85% plus.
Okay. Okay, so and on the institutional business,
we've
seen a very sharp jump in operating margins.
Yes.
So what would explain that?
As I mentioned, these were some of the new contracts we got last quarter, last three quarters, and they had annual milestones. So I want you to repeat that because I want to tell you that this is a one-off phenomenon. It's not a continuing phenomenon. The right margin, steady-state margin over a long period for institutional business is more like 15 to 18%.
Okay. Okay. And sorry, lastly, just on the corporate business, what would explain the fall in margins on that part?
That's a product mix issue once again. Because if the instructor-led training part is higher, then the people cost becomes relatively higher. And technology companies, this enablement and readiness, this is like an investment for the future. You do a mobilization drive to train up large number of people whose cost you bear, but they don't deliver adequate revenues for you.
Okay. Thanks, sir, for the question, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Anand. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1 now. I repeat, participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1 now. Once again, participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1 now. Next in line, we have Mr. Sunil Kohli from AIM Capital. Over to you, sir.
Can you please speak a bit loudly? We couldn't hear what you said.
Congratulations on good set of numbers.
Thank you.
My query pertains to the other income part.
Yes.
What kind of forex losses we saw in this quarter, and what would have been the impact had this not occurred?
4 million rupees was the forex loss. So we have an interest income, we have an interest expenditure, and then we have the forex loss. So in this case, the forex loss is what caused the negative. And otherwise, we were kind of equal.
What kind of cash and debt you would be having on your books as of now?
Yeah, just one moment. We have a total cash balance of 895 million.
And debt?
Debt in this case is 1134 million.
This includes the FCCBs.
Very right.
And as far as your corporate business is concerned, there is a decline in the margins by 300 basis points. Now, is there any seasonality element also attached to this?
You are referring to the corporate business?
Yeah.
Yeah, corporate business does not have as much of seasonality as in this particular case a product mix issue. So going forward, we should see an improvement.
So what kind of margins can we see in the future over the next 1 or 2 years in this business?
Yeah, see, I have maintained that the steady state margin for this business is more like 20%. And we are today operating at around 15% if you take the last 4 quarters.
Okay.
And we see a steady improvement going forward as the product mix changes.
Could you throw some light on your university progress?
I will ask Mr. Pawar to comment on this. One moment.
Well, there's work going on a couple of fronts. One is, of course, that the discussions with the government. So we continue to have discussions to explain our plans and look at the procedures and so on. But on the ground, we are now at a stage where we are building the master plan for the campus, which we expect will, some phase of it will be ready in the second half of 2007. And in the meanwhile, we have started adding technical staff who are currently operating out of a transit campus that we have in Delhi, where their key task is to start building capabilities, to start building processes that are required for us to be ready for operation as and when the procedural formalities are completed. So that is where we are.
What kind of quarterly cost would you have incurred on the university in terms of recurring expenses?
No, the university is an independent entity, and therefore their accounts do not come to our accounts.
Could you also throw some light on these ESOPs, 5,50,000 ESOPs, when were they issued and what kind of pricing is for these ESOPs?
I do not have the details right now, but they are available on our website. It's 550,000 ESOPs which were issued in two grants. One grant was in August. Just one moment. In fact, it's given in our notes to come. So let me read out to you. The company granted 555,350 options at rupees 180. Per share to be vested on August 2, 2006 and 46,200 options at 237 to be vested on August 11, 2006.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Kohli. Next, we have Mr. Hitesh from ABN AMRO. Over to you, sir.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just had a few queries. Can we have a central breakdown across India individual, international, and India institutional?
Okay. India institutional, I already told you, was 4,295. India individual is 504. And in international is, just, I'm just, 235.
And of this 504 India individual, how many are NIT owned?
Let's put it this way, there are about 45 of them which are NIT owned, and 37% of the capacity. They represent 37% of the capacity.
Okay. Also, I wanted to know what has happened in the corporate business, why the margin declined so much on Q-on-Q basis. And even if you look on YOY basis, the margins have declined. What has actually gone into that?
Yeah. See, as I explained, in corporate business, it was a product mix issue. And let me explain the product mix. As we are doing more work for technology vertical companies, there is a higher incidence of instructor-led training. So, for example, when I say we trained 11,000 people in Microsoft Technologies before the product launch, all that was instructor-led training. And whenever you have a new technology in which you have instructor-led training, typically your cost of instructors is very high, cost of getting them ready is very high. So every time you have a partnership and you are creating a new set of instructor base, then you have these additional expenses. So as it is, instructor-led training has a higher variable expenditure. And then if you are getting ready for a new partnership, then it takes still longer. So there was a lot of mobilization expenses which were part of this mix.
Okay. So it was all because of this instructor-led training product mix change?
Yes. Part of it because the product mix got changed, and part of it because we were getting ready for even more to happen going forward. Now this, as the volume catches up, will stabilize.
Okay, all right. And on the individual business, you spoke about some one-time expenses. Just wanted to get a feel on what were the one-time expenses that we had in the individual business, and what is the possibility of such expenses recurring in future?
No, as I mentioned, these were one-time, and because I told you also, without those, what the profitability would have been. So we are talking of, I think, a total of about 22 million rupees, which we identified as additional expenses. Some of them were because of delayed implementation, because of which you had the resources ready and you have to take provisions. And the second was on new launches, which we did, for example, Microsoft new launch, which I just talked about. As well as in Nigeria and Vietnam, we ran some promotion schemes. So all the impact of all this is what separates it out. Now, Microsoft launch is not going to happen again. And hopefully, we don't have similar situations of having to provide for some creation which we have already done in other jobs. So that's why I believe that if you take out those unique expenses, it will be 4 to 5%. 4% is more appropriate.
Okay. Thank you and all the best. Just one more question. Can I get what were the debtors outstanding and what has been the net addition to PPE?
Net addition of people?
No, net addition to plant, property and equipment, fixed assets.
Oh, plant, property. Oh, yeah. Okay. We had 114 million of fixed asset expenditure. There are two, as usual, the expenditure would be in two or three categories. Just one moment, let me get hold of that page. Yeah. So in this time, we had an investment of 114 million in assets. Institutional projects were 65 million. Our own center upgradation and modernization was 17 million, and then the rest was routine capex. And in terms of debtors, our debtors DSO on an LTM basis reduced from 150 days to 143 days. Our closing debtors were at 1,680 million.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hitesh. Next in line, we have Mr. Nitin Sehgal from Bridge Capital. Over to you, sir. Mr. Nitin Sehgal, are you there?
Yeah, hi. Sorry. Good evening. I have a quick couple of questions. One is on revenue capacity utilization in India. I know you mentioned 39%. Could you tell me what that was last year in the same quarter?
I would not have it at last year, but I can tell you approximately.
Okay.
It would have been approximately at the same level, couple of percentage points, because we have been tracking by this calculation only this year. I can tell you what it was last quarter.
Okay.
Last quarter it was at 50.
No, it was 54%. Okay. So revenues grew year over year 22%, but capacity utilization was about flat. Why is that?
Because we added more capacity in general.
We added a lot more.
Yeah.
Okay. And the next question is on slide 7. You mentioned India grows 22%, but
yes.
Then you said on slide 8, quarter revenue growth 47%. Could you just clarify whether that's one is sequential, one's year over year, or that? Not understanding that.
Just one moment. I just look at that slide. Okay. In on a system-wide revenue basis. He said India grew 22%.
Okay.
Correct?
All right.
And on a net revenue basis, we grew 47%.
Okay.
So when you see a difference where system-wide revenue grows slower than net revenue, it means our own centers did better and had a larger contribution.
Yep.
Because there the net revenue and system-wide revenue are same.
Yep. Okay. And finally, could you just tell us cash and debt, what they were as of the previous quarter?
Yeah. Just one moment. Last year, last quarter this time, I'll pull out the numbers. Cash was 933,
mm-hmm.
And debt was four. This is FCCB, right? Was 437 million, and then we had a $10 million FCCB.
Okay, I'm sorry. Just to clarify, this was last year or previous quarter?
Last quarter. You asked me last quarter, right?
Yeah. So the September quarter.
Yes.
Okay. 437 and 933 cash.
Yeah.
Okay. And the 1134 for this quarter includes the FCCB $10 million.
Yeah. So if you knock that out, it'll be 690.
Okay. Great. That's all I had. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sehgal. Next is a follow-up question from Mr. Ashi Anand of Pru ICICI. Over to you, sir.
So I just wanted to try to understand the kind of operating leverage which is inbuilt in the individual business segment, given that we are operating at a low capacity utilization. Would you have any kind of a benchmark, and I'm just looking at some kind of rough benchmark, saying that for every 100 rupee increase in revenues, so much will flow down to operating profits, given that a large amount of my expenses are actually fixed? Would it be possible to give some such sort of a benchmark?
Yeah. But I can make a very rough statement. For every 100 rupees of revenue, after you are at, let's say, 50%, 45-50% capacity utilization, you would have about 45 rupees flowing down to the bottom line. The reason is you have a variable expense, which in a product mix situation would be between 35 and 40. And we always assume a marketing expense to get that additional revenue of about 15 rupees. So this is our internal norm, by the way.
Okay. So in terms of the current capacities, say looking forward 1 year into 07, say if we have to reach a revenue on individual segment of about 200 crores, do we believe we currently have the capacity in the system, or would we actually need to go out and build more centers?
Now, we are discussing a system-wide revenue capacity?
Oh, no, I'm speaking at the net level.
No, see, it's easier to do this calculation at a system-wide revenue, because then you decide whether you own or somebody else owns. But if you had to do at the net level and if you had to reach the fastest, then what we would do is go and open all centers of our own.
Okay.
Because that will give you the fastest. My feeling is that at this point of time, and the revenue capacity when we are talking about also is at a system-wide level, revenue level. So our system-wide revenue at the four quarters level will come to what right now? Yeah, so we are already at about 360 crores. Okay, and at a net level, we would be, let's say, about 170. So if you are saying if I have to improve my revenues by about 10%, do I need more capacity?
So about 20%.
I'm sorry?
If you have to increase revenues about 20%, would we need more capacity?
Okay. If I was to give a strict answer to your question, no. No, we will not have to improve our capacity. However, if we want to, because today we are growing at faster than 20%, and actually I want to tell you one thing, and that used to be a question in the analyst call, why is our individual business growing slower than the services industry when we were at single digit and then at 10-12%? And I used to say that there is an inertia in this business and it takes a while to build that momentum. I think this time we can safely say that in India at least we have shown that we are growing faster than the services industry in this quarter. We've grown 47%. So I think we would not be looking at a 20% growth. We would be looking at something better than that next year. And for that, do we need additional capacity? If I was to do a mathematical calculation, no. But I have to do a reach calculation in addition to a mathematical calculation. In which case, yes, there will be some more capacity which we'll add.
Any CapEx plans on that, and then how much are you planning to spend on that?
Our CapEx, we are actually in the middle of our planning cycle right now, and we are deciding how much of own and how much of business partner-led business we will be growing. So I think that next quarter we would be able to give you a better picture of that once our plans are ready.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anand. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1 now. I repeat, participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1 now. At this moment, there are no further questions from participants. I would like to hand over the floor back to Mr. Tarani for final remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. I can understand that it's been a long day, and maybe it's still a longer day, but I do want to thank each one of you for being here on the call, for all your support, and for very pointed questions. As usual, we learn a lot from these questions. And not to forget, we are extremely grateful to you for supporting us for the last 25 years, and looking forward to many more such interactions in the future. All the best. Good night.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for choosing WebEx conferencing service. That concludes this conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you and have a nice evening.